Okay, good morning and a good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatsiya Daf Ayin. We are holding on Daf Samach Tesam Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Samach Tesam Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, her Nisham Shavan Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, who should all return home safely, as well as by the Shulman family for the yard site of Robin Shulman, Sima Rosa Chai, Abbas Aaron Ruuvein, which was on Chaf Hey Nisan, and the Shem Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is the following. First, the Gemara is going to discuss when you can pay a higher rent in exchange for a loan that allows for an investment in the business. So I'm borrowing money in order to invest in the business, but now because of that loan, which I do have to pay back, I'm also going to pay higher rent. So that sounds a little bit like ribbis. So when is that mutter? When is that not mutter? The Gemara is then going to talk about, can a person make an arrangement where he rents out a boat or an animal and he receives payment for its value if it breaks or it dies? So I'm guaranteeing to pay you, if I'm renting it from you, I'm guaranteeing to pay you its full value if something were to happen to it, which means I'm basically borrowing it from you. It's a loan because I'm going to pay if something happens to it, and yet I'm also paying rental payments. So is that a problem of ribbis? Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Aleph whether an apotropos is allowed to lend out nichse yisomim with ribbis. Do we apply ribbis even to money that belongs to yisomim who are ketanim, who are children? The Gemara is going to talk about our attitudes toward different types of arrangements based on the risk-reward, meaning if I'm willing to lend you money and take a very high risk and get very little reward, what do we think of me for doing that? What if it's the reverse? I take an arrangement where there's very high reward and no risk, and you take all the risk. What do we think of me for doing that? So the Gemara is going to discuss our attitudes toward all different types of such arrangements, and then the Gemara is going to talk about how do we best handle nichse yisomim with still avoiding ribbis and trying to make sure that we don't use up all of their nechassim in trying to support them. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to talk about a tzon barzel arrangement. Tzon barzel arrangement means that I'm guaranteeing you whatever I'm taking from you, I'm going to pay for it. If anything happens to it, I'm going to give it back. If anything happens, I'm going to give it back at the full value of what it is right now. And in addition to that, I'll also make rental payments and things like that. So is that going to be a ribbis problem? May one do that with a Jew? May one do that with a non-Jew? We're going to talk a little bit about ribbis with a non-Jew in general. Then the Gemara is going to ask a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maseches Bechoros. Do we assume that the recipient of a tzon barzel is considered to be, since he's taking on all the responsibility, the recipient in its own barzel relationship, do we consider him to be the owner of that item? And we're going to try to resolve that stira. Then the Gemara is going to discuss at the very end of the daf whether one is allowed to lend money to a non-Jew with ribbis, and how lending and borrowing might be different from each other in terms of our attitude of how we deal with a non-Jew. Because on the surface, it seems like it's a mitzvah min haTorah to lend money to a non-Jew, but the Gemara is going to waver on whether that's in fact true. There's something in ribbis that's a mitzvah min haTorah, but not clear whether that's lending or borrowing. So we'll get to that, Be'ez Hashem, at the end of the daf, or probably the beginning of tomorrow's shir, to be honest. But let's begin at the Gemara on Samach Tesam Bey. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Mafris al Sadeh v'enu choshesh mishum ribbis. A person could be Mafris al Sadeh when it's not a ribbis problem. What does that mean? So Kate said, give me an example. I'm going to be the farmer on your field, so I'm renting out the field from you, and my payment is that I'm going to give you 10 kor of chitim for each year that I'm working on this field. But then, I ask you for a 200 zuz loan for me to invest into the field itself, that I want to be able to buy wheat and to plant it into the field, to buy manure and to whatever it is that I need to make this field better. And in exchange for that, not only will I return your 200 zuz, but vaniyelu l'chash I'll raise the amount of my rental payment. Instead of paying you 10 kor of chitin for a year, I'll pay you 12 kor of chitin for a year. So mutter, you're allowed to do that. That's not a problem of ribis, because you're not really paying him for the money that he's giving you, for the loan that he's giving you, meaning the extra 2 kor of chitin is not a payment for the loan, which you also have to pay back. But no, since you're giving me the money, not just stam as a loan, but to invest in the field, that means the field is a better field than the one I had originally rented. So it makes sense that the rental payment of this field is going to be a higher rental payment, because it's now a better field. So that's why it's not going to be ribis when we raise it to 12 kor of chitin for a year. Aval ein mafriz lo al chanus v'lo al svina. But if I rent out a store or a boat, so then I'm not allowed to borrow money from the person who's renting out the store or the boat to me in order to buy more payrolls to sell in the store, in order to buy more schora to schlep on the boat, and then I'm gonna have to pay more rent in exchange for that, because the boat doesn't become any better. The store doesn't become any better. It doesn't make sense that the rental payment will go up on account of the loan that you had given me. I mean, if the rental payment goes up on account of the loan that you had given me, then that's ribis. You lent me money, I'm paying you back the money, plus I'm paying you more rent than I was paying before. And what the thing I'm renting is exactly the same thing it always was. So you can't say that the elevated rent payment is because it's a better item than I was originally renting. It's not. Now, sometimes, though, if I ask you for an additional loan when I'm renting a store from you, I can elevate the rental payment. Lots of batsura, if the purpose of the loan is to make a physical improvement in the property, that we're going to make nice artwork on the walls of the restaurant that I'm renting from you, or svina lasa iskaria, or a boat in order to buy a new mast for the boat to upgrade the boat itself. Chanus lasa basur sadit sava ba inchi, that people wanted to look nice, vaviagra tve, and therefore it's going to the rental payment for a nice space is higher than a rental payment for a less decorated, not such nice space. So it makes sense that I'm going to pay for a higher rent. Svina lasa iskaria, if I make a new mast on the boat, given to Shapir Iskari Tvei, Agra Tvei. A boat with a new mast is a better boat than a boat with an old mast, and therefore it makes sense that the rental payment is going to be more. Svinta, so period. So that's the end of that discussion. So Gemara discusses, when it comes to a boat, Svinta, Omer Rav, Agra, Upagra, that you're allowed to take the rental payment for the boat, even though the socher is being makabel the full achrayus of anything that happens to that boat. If that boat were to capsize, were to sink, anything were to happen to it, he's going to pay the full amount that boat was worth. And that's not ribis, meaning it's not ribis, even though he's taking the boat and he's guaranteeing he's going to pay the full amount back if anything were to happen to it. And in addition to that, he's also going to pay rental payments for the time that he's using it. Some of the Rav Kana Ravasi, the Rav, Rav Kana Rav Asa, Rav, that doesn't make any sense. I agra lo pagra, meaning if he's taking the responsibility of paying rental payments, that means he's not the owner of it, and therefore, if some onus happens to it, that shouldn't be his problem. The socher is not chayv and owns him, meaning if he's just renting it, so why should he have to take the responsibility? Why is he even allowed to take the responsibility of something happening to it? That would seem like ribis, because if he's taking full responsibility that something's going to happen, if something happens to it, then he's going to pay for the full value of it, then it's not really a rental, it's a loan. And if it's a loan, he shouldn't also be making rental payments, because then it's ribis. V'pagra lo agra. Exactly what we just said, that if it's a loan, you shouldn't be making rental payments. Now, it's true that there is a Mishnah that tells us that a Shomer Sachar is able to be masna, to be makabel on himself, the chiyuvim of ones, like a shoel, but apparently Rav Kahane and Rav Asi hold that you shouldn't do that, because it looks like ribis. Meaning it's true, if I rent something from you and I say that I'm being mekabel upon myself ol chiyuvei onsim, I am now responsible for that, but that's mechzik ribis. That looks like a ribis problem. It's ribis midrabanan to do that, because by taking upon myself the responsibility of all onsim, I'm saying that I'm borrowing it and that I am not really a renter. And then when I pay rental payments on top of that, I'm paying money for something that I am borrowing. So they asked Rav, how is this possible? How is this mutter? Shasak Rav. Rav didn't have any response. He didn't say anything. The Ramban writes, he still didn't change his mind. He just didn't say anything. Why didn't he change his mind if he didn't have an answer? So the Ramban says, because this was the Kabbalah he had from his Rebbeim. And you have a Kabbalah from your Rebbeim, you assume that they had some sort of answer. So he knows that his Rebbeim would have known what to say. So I'm Rav Sheshes, my time is Shasak Rav. Rav Sheshes says, I know what the answer would have been. I don't understand why Rav was quiet. After all, there is an obvious answer. Is he unaware of the brisa that supports him, that says afal pi shamru, that even though we have a Mishnah in today's daf that says ein mekablin tzon barzel miYisrael, that you're not allowed to take a business arrangement where you're mekabel on yourself the full achrayus of the item, that you're going to give back the full value of the item if anything happens to it, if it goes down in value or if it gets destroyed entirely, but I'm going to split whatever profits I'm going to make from this item, because then those profits that you're giving him, that division of the profits is ribbis. I'm taking full responsibility of it, which means I'm borrowing it and I'm giving you some of the profits. So in addition to the loan being paid back, I'm also giving you some of the profits. That's ribbis. But you're allowed to do that with a nachri, the Mishnah is going to say. Aval amru. So now is where the brisa picks up. That we're going to have in the Mishnah later on. Aval amru, but the Chum tell us, Hashem para lechavero, v'amr lo, hare praska suya lai b'shloshim dinar. If we assess the value of a para, and I'm renting this para from you, and I'm going to tell you that we know that it's worth 30 dinar. So if I don't ever return the para itself, it dies, I lose it, something like that, don't worry, I'm on the hook for all 30 dinar. And in addition to that, I'm also going to make a rental payment of one sella for each month that I keep this para. Mutter, that's not ribbis, that's mutter. Why? Because I was never mechayiv myself in the full value of the para. Says Mar, were we not paying attention? We just said, v'loa sa'a. What do you mean you weren't mechayiv yourself in the full value of the para? We just said, they said, I know that it's 30 dinar, and I'm on the hook for the 30 dinar. That means that you are paying the full value of the para. So Rav Sheshes, lo asa adam mechayim el lacharmisa. No. What we're saying is that I'm not taking full responsibility of any fluctuation in the price of the para. So if it's a 30 dinar para, and by the time I return it to you, it's only worth 25 dinar, I'm just returning the para to you. And therefore, it makes sense that I'm also going to pay rental payments, because I'm not taking the full... All I'm taking full of chrys is if the para dies, if the para is gone, if it gets lost, so then I'm going to pay you 30 dinar for that. But if nothing happens to the para and it just goes down in value, so I'm just going to give you the para back. So since if that were to happen, it would not be ribbis, because I'm taking upon myself some... the owner of the para is taking upon himself some risk that the para may go down in value, so it makes sense that he's also going to receive a rental payment, and that's not going to be a violation of ribbis. So we see that any time the Mekabel is not being Mekabel all achrayus, even of a fluctuation in price, he's only being mekabel on himself achrayus of some sort of onus where the whole thing will be destroyed, that's not called a halva'a, and you're allowed to make rental payments for that. So therefore, we understand what the teretz that Rav would give, should have given, to the kash of Rav Kahn and Rav Asi, that even if you're the masker of the Sfina and the socher is mekabel achrayus of any onus that happens to the Sfina, he's not mekabel achrayus if the Sfina goes down a little bit in value. So that because he's the maskir is taking on that risk that it might go down a little bit in value, he's also allowed to receive rental payments for that svina. So says Gemara, Amrav Papa, we paskin like Rav. Hilchsa svina agra uparga. You're allowed to take rental payments for the svina, even though the guy is being makabel upon himself all the responsibility for any onsim. V'nagu b'nei kufra, and the b'nei kufra had a minag that agra b'shas mashicha, upagra b'shas shvira, that they would also agra. They would take the rental payments as well as the fact that the socher would take upon himself the responsibility of any onas. So Atubim Hagatal Yimilsa Nagu makes it sound like that it's really an isser, but that was the minhag. That's what they do. No, if there was an isser, then we shouldn't allow them to do such a minhag. Meaning, this is a matter of mutter and usser. This is not a matter of minhag. If it's something that's not proper, what do you mean that they were nahagu to do this? No hag to eat chazer. That's that's not a noheg. You're not allowed to be noheg to do an aveira. Says Gemara, no mishum demasnisa tanya min haga. No, because now that we have a brisa that Torah said it's mutter, so that became the basis of their practice. Meaning, once we learned that as long as the socher is not taking upon himself the responsibility of any decrease in value of the item, he's only taking upon himself the responsibility if something happens to the item that it's gone. So therefore, he's allowed to make rental payments, and that's not going to be ribbis. So once we have that in the brisa, so that became the basis of the minhag. So now the Gemara discusses, what if I'm dealing with money that belongs to Yisomim? Are there any kulas in ribbis when dealing with money that belongs to Yisomim? Amar Avan Amar Shmuel, Ma'u shal Yisomim mutr la'alvosan beribbis. You're allowed to lend it to other people with ribbis so that the Yisomim can make money off of that and they'll still have their nechasim. It's not going to use up their nechasim because the Yisomim are katanim, they're not chayiv mitzvos, and if they're not chayiv mitzvos, they're not mitzvah in the Isra of Ribbis. Aye, there's an Isra of Losafin and Biadayim that you're not allowed to feed some Dvar Isser to a Katan. So according to one day in Yivamas Kuf Yadalit, that Bezin Mitzvah Lafrisham, even if they eat something else or on their own, Bezin has to stop it from happening. But that's only if they do the Isra Biadayim. Over here, the Katan's not doing any Maisa Isser. So Rav Adon holds that that's Mutter. And even on Ribbis Ktsutsu Midaraisa, it sounds like it's Mutter. And the apotropos is not violating any iser because the iser of the Torah is only when it goes milove lemalve. The apotropos is not the malve; he's not the lender. He just happens to be the one who is dealing with the money that belongs to the yisomim. And that's what Tosus points out, that if there's no iser on the malve, mimele, there's no iser on the love. So no one's going to be in violation of ribbis when you take money that belongs to the yisomim and you lend it out by ribbis. So I'm later Rav Nachman says, Ravan, how could it be that Shmuel allows being lending money of Yisomim peribis mishum diasmin in safina lui sura, because of Yisomim we're gonna feed them iser, meaning that it's mamish, it's glad treif what you're doing. You're gonna give them money. That's mamish treif for money. It's ribis money. Yasmi daachli dalav ditu. After all, Yisomim that eat something that doesn't belong to them, meaning like money that's ribis lezel basar shivkayu, they'd be better off being suffering the same fate as their parents. They became Yisomim because their father's dead. They'd be better off dead than eating the ribbis, because the purpose of life is a Shmiras Torah Mitzvos. If they're by living, they're not going to be doing Shmiras Torah Mitzvos. They'd be better off not living. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, Rav Adon, there must be something lost in translation over here. You're telling me that Shmuel said that you're just allowed to take money of Yisomim and charge ribbis for it? Yeah, probably Shmuel said something else, and that's the conclusion you drew. So let's go back to square one. Emily is a gufadu of dahechav. What actually happened with Shmuel? And I'll see if the conclusion that you're drawing from that is a valid conclusion. So Rav Anan said, okay, here's what happened. Ha'ududa de bnei maruk v'dav bnei mar Shmuel. That Shmuel had a copper pot that belonged to Yisomim of the children of Mar Ukva, and Shmuel would rent it out to different people in order to get rental payments, and that would go into the Yisomim's account, and that would support the Yisomim. But not only did Shmuel rent out these pots that belong to the Yisomim, Tuckel the Yovle, Tuckel the Shakale. He would weigh it every time before the rental, and he'd weigh it when they would return the rental, and he would make them pay for any discrepancy. So if the metal became corroded over the time of the rental, he would make them pay back for that. So Shakal Agra v'Shakal Psacha, that he would take the rental payment, and in addition, he'd make them pay back the decrease in the value of the pot. But if you're not allowed to lend money of Yisomim with ribbis, how is he allowed to do that? Because E. Agra, if he's taking rental payments for it, if he's taking a rental for it, and therefore they're paying Dmei Schirus, Lo Psacha, then he shouldn't pay they shouldn't have to pay the decrease in value, because that's the whole point of a rental. Why do I pay money to rent something? Because it's understood that there's wear and tear. So I'm paying for the wear and tear of the item. But if you're going to make me pay separately for the wear and tear, then obviously I'm not renting it, then I'm borrowing it from you. And if I'm borrowing it, I shouldn't have to also pay a rental payment. Lehman, because that's going to be Ribbis. Ibchasa lo Agra. So how did he allow it? So I'm late. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Anan, so that, meaning that's how Rav Anan drew the conclusion. Oh, must be he allowed it because it's Yisomim, and you're allowed to charge Ribbis when you're lending out money that belongs to Yisomim. He says, no, kiha, filu b'diknoni nami shari lemevid. Even if they were not Yisomim ketanim, even if they were older people, they'd be you'd be allowed to do such a thing. That's not Ribbis at all. Da mekabli alayu chuscho din chosha, demakli nechosha, batur dame. Forgetting about the discrepancy in the value of the copper pots because of the decrease in weight. Yeah, that the socher is going to compensate for. But there's also the copper itself is less valuable when it's been used on the fire more times. It burns up a little bit, it becomes less valuable. And that, they're not reimbursing you for. So for that decrease in value, they're making rental payments. So it's not a ribbis issue at all. Amar Rav Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chista, Varmi La Amar Rav Bar Yosef, Bar Chama Amar Rav Sheshes, Ma'ol Shel Yisomim, if you have money that belongs to Yisomim Ketanim, and over here we assume that Yisomim Ketanim means even if they're over the age of Bar Mitzvah, as long as they don't know how to deal with Nechasim like adults normally would. That's what the Truma Sedeshan is quoted in the Beis Yosef, and it is Paskin Shulchan Aruch. Bir Agra writes that that's why Rav Nachman said Afilu B'diknoni. Why not just say Afilu B'gedolim, Afilu over the age of Bar, Afilu B'diknoni means Megadle Zakan, that even when you're going to say that something is mutter, yeah, and it's not called ribbis, you're going to say it's mutter even for people who are old enough to be, for Yisomim who are old enough to do their own business dealings. But over here we're saying that Moshal Yisomim, who are not old enough to do their own business dealings, so mutter, the apotropos, is allowed, the halvosim karv l'sachar v'rachol klafsin. He's allowed to make a deal, an iska deal, with the money that the Yisomim are going to get some portion of the profits, even if they take on zero of the risk. For Gedolim, you're not allowed to do that, but because it's ribbis. But it's not ribbis k'tzutza midaraisa, because it may not make any profits. So since it's not ribbis k'tzutza midaraisa, since it might not make any profits, so you're allowed to do that with Yisomim. Essentially, avak ribbis is going to be mutter with the Yisomim. So the Gemara brings a braisa that discusses different types of iska arrangements. Tan Rabbanan, Karav l'sacha v'rachok lehafsid Russia. If you make an iska arrangement where the guy that you're lending the money to takes on all of the risk and you get a share in the profits, that's rishos, that's avak ribbis. You're not allowed to do that. Karav lehafsid v'rachok lesachar. But if you will lend someone money and you, the lender, takes upon all of the risk and very little of the reward, so chassid, then that's a chassid, that's a wonderful thing to do. So the Rishonim ask, that's a chassid? That sounds more like an idiot than a chassid. I mean, that's not how business works. He may be a chassid, he's going to be a hungry chassid if that's how he conducts business. He's never going to make any money. So the Ritva disagrees with Rashi, and he says that it doesn't mean that he doesn't get any of the profits at all. It means he gets a smaller portion of the profits than would normally demand based on the amount of risk that he's taking. Piskei Arid says, no, what makes him a chassid over here is that what makes this guy a chassid, says the Piskei Arid, is that he doesn't do this isn't his regular business. He does this with people who are in need, with people who are parnasasim or dechuka, and they're too proud to take any loans or to take any gifts. So he works out that it's an iska that I'm investing in, and you're just not going to have any risk in the investment. I'm going to take all the risk of the investment. So that's a mice of chasidus. But if the risk and the reward are commensurate with each other, Zui Midas Kal Adam. I feel bad. The Zoom is cracking. This is Midas Kal Adam. This is the way that's a normal way to run a business. So I'm like Rabbi Rav Yosef. Hani Zuzi Diasmi. Are we muted or are we unmuted? So, Hani Zuzi Diasmi. So he says that these Zuzim that belong to Yisomim. Down. Yeah, Hani Zuzi Diasmi, this money that belongs to to money that belongs to Yisomim, what's the best way to deal with them? What should we do in terms of investing it or in terms of providing for the Yisomim? So Amalei, Rav Yosef responded, Mosfinlu Beidina, we put them in Beis Din in order that they shouldn't get lost. V'yavinlu Zuza Zuza, and we give the Yisomim one Zuza at a time in order that they should be able to have what to eat each day. So Amalei, V'akakal Yakarna, look, you put the money in Beis Din and you keep taking away from the principal, so by the time the kids grow up, or even depending how much money, maybe even before then, there's not going to be anything left for them. So that's not a wise investment for the children. You're just putting it in a safe. You stick it in a mattress and you take a few dollars out of the mattress every day. Eventually, the mattress isn't going to have anything in it. That's not right. So Amalei, so Mar Hechi Avidi says, you have a better idea. What do you do with the money of Yisomim? So Amalei, here's what I do. But Kina Gavra, I look for a guy who is a wealthy person, Disley Dahava Pricha, who has gold pieces. The advantage of little pieces of gold is that they have no simen on them, and therefore there's no way it's a pikadon that belongs to somebody else. If a guy has actual gold, little gold pieces, I know that they really belong to him. So I know that he's a genuine usher. I know that no one is ever going to come and claim that it belongs to them, because they have no simanim on them at all. The Rambam writes, when we talk about this, you don't even need an apotropos. Bezin themselves will look for this guy, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. However, the Torah says, no, it's always better to have an apotropos, because Bezin's busy. They have a lot of other things that they want to be dealing with. They can't prioritize this. So they need to hire an apotropos to be able to do this on behalf of these homes, to find such a guy. Okay, so that's what the Ramah paskins, that they should find such a guy who's got such gold that does not have any simon on it. So you know that whatever happens, you'll always have what to collect from. If the money gets lost, this guy always has money that you'll be able to get reimbursed from. And we take some gold as a mashkon from this person to leave it in Beis Din for the Iska. The Marshal says you don't even need that line, because he says, Lefi Rashi, you don't have that line. The point of the fact that he has gold is that you know he's a rich guy and you know he's good for it. So you don't also need to take the gold from him. Just know that he has it. And then you give him the Yisomim's money for him to invest in a deal where all the Achrayos is going to be on him to reimburse the money. And if there's profit from that money, he's going to split it with the Yisomim. Aval davar mesuyam lo. But if he doesn't have gold, he just has an item that looks like it's an expensive item, then you cannot trust him, because dilma pikadon inu. Maybe that's a pikadon that actually belongs to someone else. And asi mari yav simani v'shakale. And maybe the genuine owner of that item is going to show up one day and give a simin and take it. And the Yisomim are going to be out of luck. So amar avashi teinachi mishtaka kavar disle davar pricha. That's a really great idea of what to do with the stuff that belongs to Yisomim. If you find a guy that has a bunch of gold pieces lying around his house, but if you can't find a guy who's got a bunch of gold lying around his house, so then all the Yisomim's money is going to run out. So what are you going to do? You have another Eitzah? So Elam Ravashi, Chazin and Gavr de Meshapu Nichsei, we find a person who doesn't seem to have any tainas on his Nechasim, meaning he seems to have money, and no one seems to have any, he's not, you know, tied up in litigation in a thousand different ways about every dollar that he has. Some people, they seem to have a lot of money, but there seem to be a lot of people that claim that money is not his. So not such a person. A person is not, you know, no one seems to have any tainas on him. Umehemin, and you know that he's a trustworthy person. Vishama dina daraisa, and you know that he listens to the dinim in the Torah. V'lo mekabel shamta drabanan, and he never in his life received a nidoy from the chachamim. So you know he's an adam kasher. You know he's good for it. He's a trustworthy person. V'yavin lunale bebedina, and they give him an iska, they give him the money of the Yisomim to invest, again, with the same type of deal, where it's karav l'sachar v'rachok lehafsid, that the risk is going to be assumed by this fellow, and the profits are going to be shared by the Yisomim. So now we pick up with the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Ein mekablin tzon barzel miYisrael. So this is something we already said. In fact, Rashi struggles with what the chiddush over here is, but you're not allowed to accept a business arrangement from another Jew, where you're being mekabel on yourself the entire achrayus, that if anything happens to the item that I'm taking, I'm going to pay you back the full value Plus, I'm going to share whatever profits I'm able to make from it, because that's because then I'm really borrowing it, and not only am I returning that which I'm borrowing, I'm also making payments. So mipray shehu ribis. That is ribis. That's the way Rashi understands ribis midrabanan. Right? It's not ribis midaraisa, because it could be that there won't be any profits that are made from it, and if there aren't any profits, then I'm just going to give you back what I borrowed from you. So it's not ribis midaraisa. It's not ribis ktsutsa, but it's ribis midrabanan. Rabbeinu Tam is a different understanding of the Mishnah, but we'll leave it at with that understanding. You're allowed to make such an arrangement with an Ovid Chavim. In addition to such an arrangement of Tzon Barzel, forget about that, you can actually do Halva'a Beribis with an Ovid Chavim. Even Ribis Ketzutza. Pasuk says, L'nachri Tashich, that you're allowed to do that. V'chein B'ger Toshav, and also with a Ger Toshav, a guy who's Makabal on himself, to Machlokas, what a Ger Toshav is. Gemara in Avodazar, Daf Samach Dalit, and Mishnah in Avodazar has Machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim, that Rameir holds that anyone who's Makabal upon himself in front of three Tamid Chachamim not to do Avodazar. So he's a guy who's Makabal not to do Avodazar, that's a Ger Toshav. The Chachamim say, no, more than that, he's got to be Makabal to do all Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That's a Ger Toshav. So Rashi seems to assume, like the sheet of Rabbi Meir, just Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud, and Hilchos Yisur Biyah, Perek Yud Dalet, Paschal is like the Chachamim, that a Ger Tosh, and he's called the Ger Toshav, because he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, and he's not included in the mitzvah, in the Torah, of that you're not allowed to lo yishuv v'artzcha, pen yachtiyu askali, that you can't leave them in Eretz Yisrael, because they're going to cause you to sin. So he's a Ger Toshav, you know, he's a trustworthy person, he wants to be Oved Hashem, so you're allowed to give him residence in Eretz Yisrael, but whatever it is, so you're allowed to, but he's not subject to the Issur Ribis. Then the Mishnah says, Malvi Yisrael Ma'usav Shalom Chavim Midas Ovid Chavim Avlo Midas Yisrael. If you are a money manager for a non-Jew, so you're allowed to lend money to another, lend that money that belongs to the non-Jew to another Jew with ribis if it's Midas the Ovid Chavim. But if it's not Midas the Ovid Chavim, then you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara is going to have to explain what does that mean exactly. Midas Ovid Chavim, not Midas Ovid Chavim. That's for tomorrow's Daf Bezos Shem. So says Gemara, wait a second. This Tzon Barzel thing that we were talking about in the Mishnah. So what did Tzon Barzel mean? That I'm going to take this iska. I'm going to take something that you're investing with me. And I'm guaranteeing you, I'm going to pay you back whatever it's worth. If something happens to it, I pay you back full value. In addition to that, I'm going to give you a share of the profits of the investment. So he said, that's aser. So, lememra, de berushutza de makabel kaima, from the fact that you're not allowed to do that, that's aser, that's ribis, that implies that when you accept such an iska of tzon barzel, that it's considered to be yours, meaning just like a loan, when I borrow money, so milvelo tzon nitna, that money is mine now, and that's why I have full responsibility for that money. So you seem to be telling me that in its own Barzal arrangement, that I am considered the owner of that item. It's as if I have been kona it entirely. And therefore, if I'm going to give you a share of the profits, it's mamish ribis to give you a share of the profits, because it's I've borrowed it, it's become mine. But is that true, that when you have its own Barzal arrangement, it becomes mine, it becomes the person who borrowed it, it belongs to him? Ureminu, I'll ask you a stira. There's a Mishnah Maseches Bechoros that tells us otherwise, because it tells me, I'm a makabel tzon barzel min anachrim, if I take an animal as its own barzel from a nachri, and then that animal gives birth, so the obviously if it gives birth to a bechor, it's not kadosh because it belongs to the nachri, and a beim of a nachri is pater from bechorah, but vlados patur min achorah, even the vlados of the behema that Yisrael has a chelik in those vlados are pater from the bechorah, meaning even the vlados that go to the chelik of the Yisrael when it gets pregnant, it gives birth to a bechor, it's not going to be kadosh. So you see that the behemah of its own barzel is still considered kind of the nachris, because if it was considered to belong to the Yisrael, then the Yisrael is chayiv in bechorah. He has to deal with the kedushas bechor that an animal has. It's only if a nachri owns the mother that there's no kedushas bechor. If it was really in the reshus of the Yisrael, we should have been mechayiv the first behemah itself in bechor, and certainly the vladol should have been chayiv in bechor. Even the initial behemah should have been chayiv in bechor. So it's a stira to what it says in our Mishnah, that when you're mekabel tzon barzel, there's an isra of ribis, because tzon barzel is considered to belong to the mekabel. So I'm rabbi lo kasha, it's not a stira. Ha, the mekabel le'unsa v'zola, that that the Mishnah Bechorus is talking about that the behemoth is considered to be in the Rishus of the no saint still, and not in the Rishus of the Mekabel, and that's why it's part from Bechor, because it's still considered to belong to the Nachri. That's talking about a case where the Nachri was Mekabel on himself, the Achrayus of any onus that happens, as well as the Achrayus of any devaluation of the animal. That if there's an onus that happens to the animal, he's not, the Mekabel is not going to have to pay him. And even if it goes down in value, the Mekabel could just give him back the animal as is without a new assessment. So therefore, it's considered to be in the Rishus of the no saint still and not of the Mekabel. And that's not going to be an Isser of Ribbis if you were to have such an arrangement also, because it's still in the Rishus of the no saint. But ha, the lo kabel yon tzuf zol, our Mishnah that says, hey, you're not allowed to be Mekabel its own Barzel arrangement from a Yisrael, is talking about where the Mekabel is taking upon himself all the responsibility of where the Mekabel is taking the responsibility, the no-sane is not taking the responsibility, the achrayus of any onus or any devaluation, that the Mekabel is going to have to pay for all of that. So since the entire achrayus is on the Mekabel, it turns out that the behema is in his rishus, that's considered a halva'a, so if I also give you some of the profits, I'm giving you ribbis. So Rava says, that's your answer? Amalei Rava, idikabalei maru unsevazol, some barzal krisalei. How can you say that the Mishnah in Bechoros is talking about a case where the Nachri was Mekabel upon himself, any devaluation, any onus that happens to it, then you wouldn't call it its own Barzel? The Mishnah in Bechoros said that it's a case of Tzon Barzel. Tzon Barzel means it's ironclad, that he knows he's getting back 100% on his investment. The only question is he's getting back more than 100%. So you wouldn't call it Tzon Barzel if he's willing to take a loss. So that doesn't make sense, the Ukimta you're saying. And furthermore, Va'od Adatani Seifa of Makab and Tzon Barzel, even if you want to call that a Tzon Barzel payment, so okay, so when our Mishnah says you cannot do Tzon Barzel with Yisrael, and we said, oh, you know why? It's because the no-sane is not accepting upon himself any of the Achrayas. But had the no-sane accepted some of the Achrayas, then it would be mutter. So then the Mishnah should have made that distinction. Instead of the Mishnah saying, oh, we'll distinguish between the Yisrael where it's Aser and the Nachri where it's Mutter, there's a sharper distinction to be made. We could have made the distinction even with a Yisrael. That Bamed, Varim Amurim, when do we say that you're not Mekabel Tzon Barzel with Yisrael? That's the Lo Kabel Eyun Tzuvazula. That's only when the No Sein is not Mekabel any onus or any devaluation. Avol Kabel Marun Tzuvazula Shaper Dami. But if you were Mekabel and Tzuvazula, then it would be good enough. So Ella Amarava Rava says the better way to resolve the Stira is Edi v'Edi. Both the Mishnah here and the Mishnah in Bechoros are talking about a case, the Lo Kabel Ale Maro Unsevazula, that the No Sein is not being Mekabel any Achrayos. The Mekabel is being Mekabel all of the Achrayos, and that's why it's called Tzon Barzel. That's what Tzon Barzel means. V'Gabi Bechoros, Hainu Tam Tevlados Ptur Min HaBechora, why is it that the Vlados are part from Bechora if the Mekabel is accepting all the Achrayos? Isn't it his animal? Isn't it an animal that belongs to Yisrael? Because if at the end of the iska he doesn't pay the money that he owes to the Nachri, the Nachri will be able to take the first behema that was his originally, and he'll take that as his chov. And if he's not able to find that behema itself that he gave over as the iska, he'll start taking the vlados that the Yisrael had in his chelik of the prophets. Right, the vlados are prophets, so the Yisrael was taking half of the prophets. If the Nachri doesn't get paid back, that's what he's going to collect from. And that's enough. That's enough to at least call it. It's not that the Nachri is the owner of it, but it's at least enough to call it not Yad Nachri. So something's happening on this phone. I hope I'm still on Zoom. Yad Nachri Be'emsa. That's not and call Yad Nachri Be'emsa is Patur Min HaBechora. Whenever there's Yad Nachri Be'emsa, so then even though it's not in his Rishus, it's in the Rishus of Israel, it's Patur from Bechora. So now the Gemara discusses whether you're allowed to lend money to a Nachri with ribbis. Mar Bahono B'Neshach V'Tarbis L'Chonin Dalim Yikabtzenu. That someone who makes his money by lending money with ribbis, he's not going to have any of the money. He's going to end up as a Chonin like the Chonein Dalim, meaning he's collecting all the money for the Chonein Dalim. My the Chonein Dalim. What does that mean? The Chonein Dalim. Amrav Kon Shvor Malka. We're not referring to like some wonderful tzaddik Chonein Dalim. We're talking about the king of Paras who would take Jewish money in order to divide it up to Nachrim who are Dalim min Amitzvos. So all your money is going to end up in the hands of Nachrim if you make your money on ribbis. Amrav Nachrim Amar Lihuna Lo Nitzrucha Ela Da Afilu Ribbis Of Chavim. Well, obviously, if you make your money on ribbis from Jewish people, it's going to end up, you're going to end up losing from that. Even if you make money from ribbis with non-Jewish people, you're going to lose out. So Esve Rav Rav Nachman Lenachri Tashich. Doesn't it say Lenachri Tashich and my Tashich love Tishoch? Doesn't Tashich mean that you could charge ribbis from a Nachri? So he says, no, lo. Tashich, it means you can give ribbis, you can borrow money with ribbis from a Nachri, but you're not allowed to charge ribbis from a Nachri. So it says, lo sagid lavachi, is that really true? That the Torah is telling me that lenachri tashich, that there's a mitzvah that you should borrow money from a Nachri and pay back ribbis? Why would the Torah make such a mitzvah? So the Gemara answers, the pasuk means, yeah, that you give ribbis to a Nachri, but the Torah is not telling me that there's a mitzvah to give ribbis to Nachri. It's telling me that you're only allowed to give ribbis to a Nachri, as opposed to another Jew, where you're not allowed to be the borrower who pays him ribbis. Meaning that's one of the Yisurim of ribbis, is even to be the Lova, not only to be the Malva. So ask the Gemara, yeah, but we already have that. Yeah, lavar lav base velosase. That's a losase, but now we're adding, in addition to that, that it's a violation of an ase as well. So what the Gemara seems to be saying at the point we're at right now is that while you're allowed to, and although not necessarily encouraged, but you're allowed to borrow money from a Nachri and pay ribbis, it's a bad idea to lend money to a Nachri and charge ribbis. Because if you do that, all your money is going to, you're going to lose all your money. It's a curse to the Chonein Dalim. It's going to end up in the hands of Nachrim. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the bottom of the page at Eisvei. Everyone have a wonderful day. And sorry again for all the Zoom troubles. I have no explanation.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Have a good day. Yeah.